Good morning, Gateway Church. You know, I'll tell you, every single time I do that, the Flemington Church always pales in comparison to Gateway Bridgewater. You guys are so lively. It's probably, you know, it's not really 11 o'clock by our standards. It's still 10, but still, you're awake, you're coherent. Good morning. I just want to say thank you for Pastor Phil and Pastor Sean giving me the opportunity to speak today. Some time ago, I heard a story from a friend of mine, and I can't necessarily speak to the validity of the story, but I liked it nonetheless, so I'm going to share it with you today. It's not a fillable. This is a serious thing. And so... So for those of you who have your Bibles, do me a favor. Open up to the book of Isaiah if you could. If you don't have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to open up your Androids, your iPhones, your iPads, your eyelids, as I'll have the scripture on the screen behind me. I heard this story. It was about a church in this particular major city. And this church had a very large vacant lot directly across the street from them. And a businessman in that town decided to come in and develop what would become the largest bar in this city. And the church didn't take too kindly to this. It kind of rubbed them the wrong way. And they actually started a campaign in the church to pray against the bar, that God would do something about it and remove it from being across the street from them. And they went even as far as to tell the business owner, the bar owner, let him know what they were praying for. Well, construction began, and before it really got a chance to complete and finish 100%, a storm came into town. Lightning strikes this building, and it burns to the ground. The bar owner is less than enthused by this. He's actually so irate that he decides to file a lawsuit and sue the church. And so he gets to court, and he makes this statement. In open court, he makes this statement. He says, "You pray to your God that my building would be shut down. Now it's burnt to the ground, and you owe me compensation for damages and losses." Only for the church to respond back with, "We had nothing to do with it. All right, we are not responsible. We had nothing to do with that at all." And the judge who's overseeing this case is completely conflicted. You know, he's in a rock and a hard place. And he actually said this. He goes, "You know, on one hand, I've got this bar owner. On the other hand, I've got this church. A bar owner who believes in the power of prayer, and a church that doesn't." And so, listen, I don't know if it's true or not. I liked it. Because, listen, understand, how many believe in the power of prayer? All right, now I'm not saying that if you pray for your house, you're like your neighbor's house to burn down. That's not how this works, okay? You know, but how many understand that endings, how many understand it's completely natural for us to experience endings? It's a reality that we deal with. I mean, sometimes it's got nothing to do with somebody praying to burn something down. But, you know, I know in my lifetime, there's many things that I thought would last forever, only for them to be cut off. Some expectedly, some unexpectedly. Have any of you in the room ever felt some sense of frustration because you had been working hard at keeping something going, only for it to just completely get cut off and just didn't work out like you had planned? We actually just came out of what some might say is one of the worst years of our lifetime. 2020 was the year of the pandemic. All right. It was a year full of economic turmoil. It was full of rioting and unrest. It was full of freedoms were taken away. Businesses were shut down. You're talking jobs ending, homes lost, marriages were under duress, families were broken. Yet, in December of 2019, just in December, we're making New Year's resolutions. I mean, we had big sermons were being preached, promises were made, and nothing turned out like it was supposed to be. Because nobody expected the storm to come our way that eventually made its way towards us. So as I began to prepare for this message in my spirit, I just sensed this feeling of, now what? What do we do now? Where do we go from here? And I'm not even just referring to, you know, this church. I'm talking about in our homes, in our families, in our communities, really the world even. Where are we supposed to go from here? Now what do we do? So, there were people who dreamed of owning their own business in February of 2020 and took a risk only to see those dreams crushed when they had to shut it down 3 weeks later. Because endings are a reality, and oftentimes it's when we get encountered with these endings that we often are stuffed, you know, we face to face with ourselves, things that we didn't even know about ourselves. And so how many understand that what begins oftentimes as a love story at an altar, for some people, can become a very big nightmare in the courtroom when it ended. Or for what some people began as this amazing blessing in the delivery room as you hold this child. only to experience all the pain and suffering that comes along with children that have difficult lives, or even worse, outliving your offspring. Is this resounding to anybody? Come on, am I, things were cut off. Am I making sense to anybody here? They were businesses that opened up with grand opening signs, and then somehow now even the going out of business sign is in decay. Okay? What is this all about? So I want to draw your attention to a passage of Scripture that Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus came, talked about. And he talked about this Messiah. He talked about this coming king that had the ability to shift the world in ways that mankind never thought was even possible. And so, Isaiah chapter 11, starting at verse 1, it says it this way. Now, on the screen, we're going to display the International Children's Bible Translation. Now, listen to me. Bear with me here, okay? I typically read out of the New King James Version, but I went to the Children's Bible because, for one, it's broken down in such a way that even children can understand. But I also really feel that it captures what the heart of the Father is trying to convey to us. So, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 says it this way. It says, "A branch will grow from the stump of a tree that's been cut down." Wow. A branch will grow from the stump of a tree that's been cut down. I'm going to go to this side. I don't think they heard me here. I'm going to try over here. A branch will grow. Come on, Josh, I know you're a loud guy. A branch will grow from a stump of a tree that was cut down. That's the promise that you and I have today. Can we put that picture on the screen for me? If you don't mind, there it is. This is what Isaiah is saying. He's saying, from the stump of a tree, there's going to be a new branch. A new branch is going to come. Isaiah is declaring that in difficulty and in challenging environments, there's going to be the possibility of new life. I have amazing news for everyone today. Out of every ending that you and I experience, there's going to be the possibility of new life, a new beginning. Are you with me here? So let me tell you. Let me tell you what Isaiah is talking about to you here, because his prophetic word in Isaiah chapter 11 wasn't necessarily just pointed towards Bethlehem. It was actually a word to the people of that day, as well as having significance about the coming Messiah. Because if you could see, up to that point, Israel had been a very proud nation. It had been particularly proud and boastful of its heritage and the fact that it was invincible as a nation. Because if you look at the scriptures, you'll see several hundred years before that, they had this king named David. Anyone ever heard of him? All right, and this King David, he actually got a word that there'll never be an ending to his throne, that there'll never be someone lacking to sit on the throne of David. And so they had this attitude that they would last forever. Nobody's ever going to defeat us. Nothing's going to happen. But now all of a sudden, the entire northern kingdom is split off and pretty much cut off in exile. And now Judah, where Isaiah is under attack by the Assyrians, to the point where some historians say, and they actually refer to what happened here in Isaiah chapter 11 as the very first great Holocaust of the Jewish people. Because they weren't just being captured. They were literally being annihilated. Annihilated. You could say it this way. They had been cut off. They'd been cut down. The tree had been sawn off. Everything that they thought that would stand forever had been cut down. And so now Jesus comes along in John chapter 16, verse 33, and he makes this statement. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, he's basically saying there's going to be things that are going to challenge you. There's going to be things that are going to cause suffering. It's going to cause hardships. There's going to be difficulties. But then he finishes this statement with this. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Listen. I want to say boldly to somebody today, because it really has been stirring in my spirit for weeks, that we have been dealing with this feeling of loss, that things have cut off unexpectedly, that endings have been happening in our lives, and we didn't see them coming. And God wants to tell you guys, listen, we had to be a good cheer, because he's about to create a new beginning out of what's been cut off. Are you with me here? And so, because even in the midst of devastation, there are signs of a possible new beginning. So there's two things that I want to touch on here. There's two things that stick out about this particular passage. I'm not going to be long. That's actually not one of them. If you want to count that, that's three things. There's two things about this passage that stick out. The first one is that there is always a limitation to what you and I think is a guarantee. There is always a limitation to what you and I think is a guarantee. You ever have someone try to get you to make an investment in something? And you know, and they come to you and they say, listen. This is a guarantee. This is a surefire guarantee. That is right about the moment when I'm about to lose a lot of money. That is right about the moment when I start thinking, my wife's going to kill me if I do something like that. This is a guarantee. It's guaranteed until it's no longer guaranteed. You with me here? You ever have something that you've been working on that you've been just, you know, you put together this plan and you were just confident. Like, listen, this is going to work. This is going to work. I planned this out only for it to turn out like it didn't. Am I talking to anybody here? Come on. Now understand this, okay? You see, these were the children of Abraham. These were the descendants of David, and now they're face to face with the fact that their heritage, that their pedigree, their best laid plans, or as the great poet would say, the best laid plans of mice and men. Come on now. And it all fell apart. All fell apart. It's amazing to me because when you think about even with our best plans, our best structures, our greatest dynasties, our greatest businesses, and our incredible dreams, they all seem feeble and have the capacity to decay in certain environments. You know, and so here's what man does, basically. Man likes to work hard, man. We try to hustle and manipulate to keep going what I had dreamed up going, only to be face to face with the fact that the more effort I put forth, the greater I have to stare at a stump because what I've been dreaming about got cut off. And listen, guys, listen, I know I came to talk to somebody today. Maybe you're not in the room. Maybe you're online. I'm talking to somebody today because you had aspirations for something in your life to turn out a certain way, and it didn't work out. I don't know if it was a marriage. I don't know if it was a career. I don't know if it was a business. I don't know what it was, but there was something in your life that you reached for, and it fell apart. You took a risk, and it just drowned right out and just disappeared. The floor came out from underneath you, and you were face-to-face with yourself, and you're saying, man, I just feel empty inside. There's this emptiness inside of me. Listen, if there's nothing that you get today, you could ignore Jesse's message. If you listen to anything today, understand this. Emptiness is never a sign that God is not working in your life. Emptiness is never a sign that God is not working in your life. In fact, listen to me. Sometimes I have to come face to face with the fact that my emptiness is not the work of the enemy, but it's the work of God to reveal the faulty foundations that I've been building on. Man, I had no amens, no shouts, or nothing on that one. Listen. how many of you understand that God will bring you face to face with yourself? I'll tell you, sometimes God uses my wife. She got upset that I used this in the first service, but I don't care. I'll do it again. And so, you know, sometimes God will use my wife to show my inner me. And then I see my enemy. God will bring you face to face with yourself. And here's what I discovered in this process. God is not interested in exposing me to shame me, but he will convict me to change me. He is not interested in exposing all the dirt in my life just so I could walk in shame down the hallways, but he is very interested in bringing change into my life through conviction. And some of what we've been feeling every day, guys, is not shame. But it's really the reality that everything I tried to make my life to be is not really working. And guys, listen to me. I'm telling you, I want to share some good news with you because there's a lot of people who come to church week in and week out with emptiness inside of your life. And they're just like, man, I just feel empty. But listen, God's been trying to get them to understand that there is a new beginning that he has for them rather than continue to put effort and energy and resources into things he's never even ordained for them in the first place. And so we have to come face to face. He's allowed me to come to a point where it looks like everything in my life just got cut off. Everything doesn't seem like it would last. Things I thought, I don't really see a future. Things I thought would last doesn't seem to last. And this kind of thing happens to every one of us because we have to come to an understanding reality that we're still not building the very thing he called us and designed us to build. Are you with me here? And so how many of you know a word that we don't use in church very often is the word conviction? You know, you'll hear me say statements oftentimes like, you know, we don't do this or you don't hear this in church anymore. Listen, I'm not talking necessarily about Gateway Church. Actually, on that topic, I'm gonna blow some minds here. You ready? I don't know if you know, but Gateway Church is occupied and led by people. I know, it's my mind. And when you think about it, people, we have a sinful nature. So if you're going from church to church looking for that perfect church, I got news for you. You ready? You're never going to find it. Do you know why? Because you're here. All right. Conviction. Going back on track. So that was a little segue. I did it in the first service, and you know, I was like, all right, I'll do it again. And so forgive me. I'm sweating like crazy. I was on that drum kit. It's hot in there. But conviction. Do you even feel any conviction? Because that's really the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not particularly any work of any speaker or preacher. That's not the job there. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Because if you say something like, that preacher made me feel guilty. Well, no. That's not what's happening. What's really actually happening is the Holy Spirit's probably convicting you of the fallacy and the shallowness of your own life. And so the word convict literally means to convince. To convince. I have to be convinced that what I've been chasing is futile. I have to be, it's crazy, I have to be convinced that what I'm building on is sinking sand. I have to be convinced that the house I'm building is a house made of cards. Because that's what conviction means. And so listen, Isaiah's saying to this group of people, listen, I know what you feel like. I know what you feel like. I know it feels like you're encountering the worst days of your life. Guys, listen to me. If you and I feel like we're encountering the worst days of your life, listen to me, hear me out, okay? Because what's actually the worst days of your life and the most challenging days of your life and the most painful days of your life, the Word of God talks about it and it says, listen, it's about to in turn become the greatest days of your life. Because out of a stump, a branch is going to come forth. A new beginning is going to come out what was cut off. Are you with me? Yeah. Man, this thing doesn't want to stay in my ear for nothing. Good Lord. And so, thank you. Is that bad? Because you have to find out that what ended only gave rise to the possibility of a new beginning. You know, as we were closing out the 2020 year, this is wet. Is this water? Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm a little bit of a germ phobe. I apologize. I was like, what am I putting on me? Hang on. So listen, as we were closing out this previous year in December, and we're approaching New Year's Day, all I heard from people over and over again was just please get me out of 2020. Does anyone ever hear that? Oh, just please, could we just end 2020? Could we just turn the page? Just get me to January. I'm done with 2020. Guys, please, listen to me. You've got to be looking for more than just January. Please tell me that you're not thinking something magical is going to happen between December 31st and January 1st. Oh, no, listen to me. Hear me out. For some people, when what they're really looking for, what they're really standing on their tippy toes, looking out to the horizon when that new year was coming, what was really happening is they had the sense that something was coming their way. They were frustrated and they said, listen, where I am is not working. It's not fulfilling, but I'm not living in futility. I have an expectation that something good's coming my way. And they start looking on the horizon saying, okay, because I know a new beginning's about to start. But for some other people, could it be that they don't really have an expectation because they don't really feel like they need anything? I have found that for some people, they don't really rejoice over a Savior because they don't think they need one. I found that some people who don't think they need a problem solver, they don't really rejoice over one. And for some people who don't think that they need a way maker when we sing that song, they don't really rejoice over one. And so what happens is, when you really got an understanding that some people don't really have an expectation, but for the other people, for those people who have been and had dreams that didn't work out, or had success but it didn't necessarily fill them, for those people, when you tell them, listen, there's one who's coming, who's able to open up prison doors, there's one who's coming, who's able to give sight to the blind, there's one who's coming, who's able to give freedom to those who are bound, in their spirit, something leaps on the inside because they know that something's about to come from what's been cut off. Are you with me? Okay, so the reality is, because listen, in reality, there is limitations to everything that you and I thought seemingly was a guarantee. All right, so now, I was going to move on, but how many of you know, I said it in the first service, I'll say it again. How many of you know there's people that build their entire life on a career or a business or a marriage, their family, only to watch it literally fall apart and get cut off right in front of them? And I said that in the first service. I was hesitant to do it because I actually wrote that down in my notes a couple of weeks ago, and every time I read it, it broke me. Because every time I read it, I thought to myself, wait, hang on a second. You took away my wife, you took away my kids, you took away my wealth. Well, what do I got left? And that was God convicting me. No. You're building a house of cards. You're building your life on sinking sand. You know, it may be the very thing that God is using to awaken us to an expectation of him. So, for those of you who don't know me, or maybe you do know me, I don't have too much time, so I won't go too deep into it. But many, many, many years ago, I was a very successful young adult, more successful than my maturity actually allowed me to be. And so I had more resources and ability and freedoms that I probably shouldn't have had. And so by all accounts on the outside, I had a large tree. And it looked healthy on the outside, but it was decaying on the inside. You ever have one of those trees on your property where you just know, listen, this thing is going to come down. It might look big and tall, but it's decayed on the inside. That was my life. And so I finally came to a place where my tree had to get cut down. And while that still hurt, it's not like it's less painful, I understood that was not a healthy tree. And so when I stared at that stump, it didn't cut me as bad because I knew it was bad. And so I left everything behind and I went down to seminary and God got a hold of my life and just really just transformed me and shook me and then did all the things that he needed to do. And you fast forward 15 years. 15 years and this tree, this branch came forth during that time. And a new tree grew. Just grew right out of it. And it was beautiful. It was healthy. It was a healthy tree inside and out. Only to watch it get cut down again. When a car came and sideswiped me and took out my leg on a motorcycle. I didn't walk for almost a year. Mentally, emotionally, physically, all of it. It just cut me. Financially, in fact, I had to face my children, my wife and kids. I had to sit down and tell them, listen, guys, I know we've been financially off pretty, we've been pretty good for a while, but if things keep going the way they're going in 3 months, we're going to be bankrupt. Probably going to lose the house. The medical bills had reached numbers that were astronomical. My tree was cut down. And I couldn't understand it this time. I'm looking at the stump like, why? What did I do? And no matter how much I tried, the first surgery failed, the second surgery, everything just kept going crazy, worse and worse. And each time I just kept thinking to myself, every time I thought I was on a road to recovery, a new surgery had to show up and kick me back to the beginning. I just kept staring at a stump. I couldn't figure out why. And then there's this passage. Jeremiah spoke to this very same thing as Isaiah. The very same thing, and it's a familiar passage. It's Jeremiah chapter 29. And here's what it says. It says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans that will bless you. They are filled with good, and they won't harm you. Now watch the language here, okay? Watch the language. They will give you a hope and a future. All right? Now repeat after me, guys. They will give you a hope and a future. Okay, so the first thing I want you to notice out of this particular passage was that everything that you and I thought seemingly has been guaranteed has got some limitations to it. That was the first thing I wanted to drive home. Now, the second thing I want you to notice, I want you to understand that there is an invitation into things that you never even thought was possible. Okay? And so now, Isaiah, that's what Isaiah is basically saying here. He's saying when you look at a stump, you think it's over. That's it. It's finished. It's done. It's a stump. But something's going to get rise out of this, what you thought was cut off. Listen, guys, you're going to end up in something in your life where you just feel like your whole world fell apart, and then all of a sudden a branch is going to come out of that stump, and it's going to give rise, and it's going to start giving hope to you because there's a sign that hope is coming for us. You understand what I'm saying here? And so listen, guys, listen, please don't miss this, because Isaiah and Jeremiah both make this promise. Don't miss this. Those of you watching online, please don't miss this, okay? He said, I will give you a hope. How many of you understand? When everything is going up in smoke, the one thing you need is hope. After a year like 2020, the one thing you and I need, we need is hope. Because listen, because hope is the earnest expectation that something good is coming my way. You understand? It's basically a belief that no matter what tomorrow looks like, something good is coming my way. So please don't miss this. Listen to me. He says, I will not only give you a hope, but I'll give you a future. Now, you might be asking, so what exactly does that mean? Tomorrow, now hear me, guys, please tune in because I'm almost done. Tomorrow and a future are not the same thing. Listen, I'm going to say that again. Tomorrow and a future are not the same thing. You see, there's people who believe that with or without God, they're going to have a future. They'll make bold statements. They'll be like, listen, I don't need God. Tomorrow, the sun still is going to shine tomorrow. I'm going to be here. I'm going to have a future. I don't need none of that. Listen to me, man. Guess what? You could step into here tomorrow, but not step into what your future's all about. That's a possibility. Listen, because it's possible to step into another day and not step into your future. See, the calendar is going to give you another day, but only God can give you a future. Are you with me here? And so, because there's a lot of people who have changed calendar dates, but they stay locked up in their present, they stay locked up in their past, they're still dealing with old belief systems, they're still dealing with old defeats, old limitations. But guys, listen to me. I'm here to announce to you today, because wherever death has been working in your life, every place where death has just ravaged everything inside your life, the resurrected life of Jesus Christ is about to appear. And he's calling you, and he's saying to you, listen to me, if you could just believe in me, if you could just trust in me, have faith in me, have hope in me, because I know the expectations, I know the plans that I have for you. That's what the Word of God's talking about here. And so, guys, you know what that means? Man, if you understood what that meant, joy would just be popping out inside of you. You couldn't be contained in his chairs. Because if you know what, listen, that means God. Listen, man, I'm gonna blow some theology out of the water. That was not my intention, but I'm gonna do it anyways. All right, so here it is. God did not plan your life. He planned the pathway. I'm gonna try that again. God did not plan your future. He planned the pathway. So when you get to an intersection, you could choose a different route if you really want to. Because he planned a pathway. Some might say things like, well, God knows where I'm going to be on Thursday. Well, God is omniscient. So while he's all-knowing, he did not plan your Thursday. He planned the pathway. And when you get to that intersection, you've got a decision to make. And so some of us got our own places by our own bad decision-making. All right. Some of us get there because of our own lack of wisdom, our own unwillingness to listen to other people, and we made our own pathway rather than choosing what God has for us. But listen, guys, we got to get to the big picture here, because the bottom line is, at the end of the day, God says here that I know the plans that I have for you, and my plan for you is not to work in Hobby Lobby. My plan for you is not to work in the school system. My plan for you is a person, and that person's name is Jesus. So it doesn't really necessarily matter whether you work at Hobby Lobby or Merrill Lynch or the school system. It doesn't really matter where you work. Because at the end of the day, the only one that's going to give you life is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And listen, and what's going to happen is, it doesn't really matter about your bank account. It doesn't matter about your status in the community. It doesn't matter about your employment status. It doesn't matter about whether you're unemployed. It doesn't matter. None of that stuff. Look, I'm not discounting it. Like, it doesn't affect you. Listen, you know, I say this often, that you're a three-part being. You live in a body. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. I don't want to unpack this too much because I don't really have time. But if you understand the reality of what the scripture is talking about here, your source of life is a person. Amen. He's the branch that's coming out of a dead stump. Are you stand with me? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up if you don't mind. Guys, do you know what this means? Listen, we have Easter coming in just a few weeks. That means when Jesus, when he came and he was on that cross, he looked like a dead stump. Listen, it looked like heaven's possibilities had been cut off. Everything that the disciples thought was going to happen, they're looking at this thing and they're like, it's over. Listen, I know at Christmas time, it seems cute to have the manger, the nativity scene. You know, we put Jesus in a manger, it looks cute, we put it outside our house, put it under the tree. You know, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but guys, listen, in our hearts and minds, please don't leave him in a manger. That's just how he got here. That's just how he arrived. That's not, listen, and listen, do me a favor. Don't leave him at the temple either, as a 12-year-old. Or on the hills of Galilee when he's doing miracles, feeding with the loaves and the fishes. Please, he's more than just a rabbi. He's more than just a miracle worker. We had that stuff in the Old Testament. And do me a favor, please don't leave him at the cross either. Because I know it looks really nice, and I'm not knocking, you know, whether you get a crucifix necklace or you put that, you know, picture on the wall. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. I'm not trying to knock that, but I'm trying to say, listen, guys, all those things, those places have limitations. They could be cut off. But do me a favor, please, come with me to an empty tomb, if you may. Because there you'll find a dead stump that was buried. And there you're going to find that Jesus Christ, the resurrected life of Christ, coming out. A branch is going to come out. And what you thought was dead, what you thought was cut off, what you thought was finished, is going to bring forth new life. Are you with me? Listen, guys. How many of you understand that there is no greater deception than self-deception? There is no greater deception. Listen, we give the enemy too much credit. We really do. We'll say things like, you know, oh man, the enemy's just coming after me. No, it's not the enemy. Stupid got you. I'm serious. Stupid got you. You know, another thing I've heard somebody say, I heard someone say something to me, and I wasn't trying to be mean. Now, sometimes I can say things I'm a little harsh, and I don't mean to be. But he was like, you know, I haven't read a book in 10 years. My response was, we could tell. You know, if you don't get into the Word and get that knowledge in you, you can't blame anybody if you stay stupid. We gotta open up the Word. You know, it was shocking to me as I was preparing this message. Shocking. When I wrote down, if your marriage, if your wealth, if your children are gone, it's cut down. It cut me. That cut me. It shook me because when I thought of my children, my daughter, my boys, and my father. No, please. Please, not my kids. That cut me. But even then, and I'm not saying that it's the will of the Father to take your kids away or take you away. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, when you stare at a stump and you think it's over, you get that doctor's report that says, listen, it's finished. It's done. Game over. Checkmate. When you look at that bank statement and it's negative and you're like, man, this is not going to go well. You talk to your wife, you sit down, and there's more month than there's money. Come on now. I want to talk to some real people. From that dead stump, there's going to come a branch. A new beginning is coming your way. I'm not saying that it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. It hurts. But there's hope coming. There's a future. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would just let this word sink into their hearts, Lord God. Father, I pray right now that it's not just be some message on a Sunday, Lord God, but it'd be a word, Father, that would just impregnate them, Father. That it would just seep into their spirit, into their hearts and minds, Lord God. Father, I pray as they go home, Lord God, as they go about to their life, Lord God, as they go to the challenges and, Father, all the stump that they have to look at, Father. I pray right now that they would just be encouraged, Father, that peace would just overwhelm them, Father. It would surpass their understanding, Lord God, because they would know hope's coming my way. I have a future. I have an expectation. I'm going to get on my tippy toes because I'm not going to die here. This is not the ending. Father, I just pray right now that as you continue to move in our lives, Father, that your will be done. We give you the honor and glory in all things, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.